In your pew Bibles, on page 588 of the Old Testament, is the Hebrew Bible lesson. If you'd like to follow along as I read, Song of Solomon 2:8-13. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The word of God for the people of God. Be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from the letter of James, James 1:17-27. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's on page 215 of the New Testament. Hear these words. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. In fulfillment of our own purpose, He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our third lesson comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 7 and three different sections, 1 through 8, 14 and 15, 21 through 23. We joked at the Bible study, why didn't the folks in the lectionary committee just put the whole thing in? But they didn't. So let us read some portions. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 39. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within the human heart that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When you look at the entire New Testament, can we turn that down a tad? Thank you. First of all, your ears are blasted out when you look at the entire New Testament. No, I'm kidding. But when you look at that whole story, you realize that it is the story of Jesus Christ, of His going through the world, of His telling about the coming kingdom of God. It's the story of Jesus calling disciples, of all the people who heard Him. And finally, toward the end, it's the story of how those people tried to be faithful in answering that divine call from God. Well, one thing you've figured out is that as we try to follow Jesus Christ, it can be a difficult proposition. Jesus Himself likened it to picking up your own cross and bearing it through this life. But what we discover as we grow and learn about the Bible and about Jesus is that when we make this effort, when we become true Christians, we will see a fairly sizable return on our investment. You know, as I was looking at these lectionary readings, I figured out that there came to mind an acronym that helped me to understand it, and one that I want to share with you. This is an acronym that may make it a little more manageable, and it might also clarify how we can take these lessons into our own lives. And so the acronym is COST, C-O-S-T. Now, what I believe that Jesus is telling us is that when we answer the call to discipleship, Jesus will show us the cost of that discipleship. Jesus will show us creative opportunities to seek the truth. Creative opportunities to seek the truth. Jesus is showing us the cost, the way that we can become true disciples. Now, I want you to think about that letter from James. James was writing, it was an open letter. This was not a letter like Paul wrote that was to specific churches regarding specific problems. Theologians tell us that James was kind of sending this letter out to the churches in general ideas about how they should become better Christians. And if you know anything about that first century time period, things were pretty difficult if you were a follower of Jesus Christ. But that time in the first century was not unlike this time in the 21st century when we are called to be followers of Jesus. James is famous for calling people to task. He is the guy who wrote his line about faith without works is dead. I don't know if you've read James, but he says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead."
That's something we didn't read, but we did come to read the portion that where he says, be doers of the word, and not simply hearers who deceive themselves. There's this bizarre analogy there. He talks about going up to a mirror. Imagine what that would be like. You walk up to a mirror, you look in the mirror, you see yourself, and then upon walking away from the mirror, you forget what you saw. Has that ever happened to you? Every day, what'd you say? Depends what day. Okay, fair enough. But I think what James was getting at is that sometimes we're not clear about our identity. We're not clear about who we are. That sometimes we hear the word, but we don't necessarily live it out. This idea of being a doer of the word kind of scares me. It hits a little bit close to home because I wonder if I am, in fact, one of those Christians who takes my beliefs and puts it into action. Because if nothing else, James 1 is a call to action. You probably heard the adage, you probably said it millions of times, actions speak louder than words. Well, Jesus was a man of belief, but mostly and more importantly, Jesus was a man of action. And so James and Jesus call us to be Christian people of action. But I want to offer you another interpretation of this acronym COST. And just if you're like me, I need to read something. So I have this written down for you. I'll give them to you at the end of church if you want one. But another way for understanding what COST means is Jesus tells us that every day we ought to take action in four areas. And those four areas are creation.
We need to think about others.
We need to consider ourselves. And we always need to talk to God. We need to talk to God. Creation, others, self, talk to God. So let's think about creation. Now clearly, in Genesis, God creates the heavens and the earth, all the creatures, and we recognize because God first recognized that it was very good. And God sets up human people as stewards of all the gifts of God's creation. And so our goal on a daily basis is to figure out how to turn our love of creation into creative action. And I have four ideas. First of all, we need to recycle every time we think about it. Paper, glass, plastic, newsprint. We need to recycle. You ought to go through your trash at the office. I'm amazed at how many Sundays I walk from here down to my office and pick stuff out of the trash as I'm going. We can recycle to care for God's creation. The second way, how many of you have canvas grocery bags that you carry to the grocery store? Well, I do too. Jane introduced me to something that I never heard of either, is mesh produce bags. You can buy mesh produce bags. They don't mess up the weight. You put your produce in, you bring them back every time. So that's another way. Canvas grocery bags and produce bags, carrying those back every day. Think how many plastic bags or paper bags you'll keep from putting into the waste stream. Another way is by walking or riding your bike if you can. Doing anything you can to keep from using that car. Use public transportation. That's another great way. And one that you've heard me talk about before, but one that I would like to see more furthered, is the idea of bringing your own mug to coffee fellowship, like Don Boyle's. And I have an idea for a mug ministry, which I will share with you at another time. But those are easy things we can do, and believe it or not, if we all do them, they will have an impact on God's creation. The second letter is others. Jesus passionately cared about other people. Everything he did was for other folks. And we need to turn our love of others as Christian people into action that can be seen every day. When you start to think about that, here's some ideas. How about out of the blue, you might pen a note or pick up the phone and call someone who's homebound, who needs a smile and a kind word? How about when you care for others, consider, as I mentioned earlier, 100% of us, all of us, making a donation to the Carpet Project, but also to the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, which is coming up toward the end of October. We can help people's lives directly by being part of these two ministries. So consider that. Plus, consider walking in the Crop Hunger Walk as well. Finally, if you are out around tomorrow, smile and offer a word of greeting to a perfect stranger. Because you know what? In God's eyes, that stranger is perfect and worthy of God's love, and therefore worthy of our love. And finally, the T is talking to God and listening to the response. God wants more than you can imagine to be in contact with you. God tries every day, every hour to reach out to you, and perhaps it's time that we respond more often in kind. As hard as it may be to believe, God loves us and wants us to talk to God. Try this. Tomorrow morning, before you jump out of bed, because I know you all jump out of bed first thing in the morning, before you race to the coffee pot, sit there in bed, lie back, and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this day and for the opportunity to serve you and to serve your people." Another way to take care of, let's see, where are we on? Others, thank you. I should have said self, didn't I? We didn't go to self yet. Okay. You can see it, but I can't, all right? Let me just check, because I think I'm off the block here. Yeah, okay. Self. S. Self. We talked about loving other people, but how about loving yourself? Even on those days that you don't feel lovable, God loves you and is ready to offer you God's grace. I realized when I was a ranger at the bottom of Grand Canyon, I had a hard-won lesson, and that lesson was this. If I didn't take care of myself, I was of no use to anybody else. If you don't care for the body and the mind that God gave you, of what use are you in furthering God's kingdom? Some ideas about caring for yourself. Stop making excuses about why you can't do something for your physical fitness. As long as you're relatively healthy, join us this afternoon and every Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Walk with the Kingdom Walkers. Schedule time in for yourself. As a way to encourage you toward that, I challenge you to walk with us in the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk in the end of October. Last year we won the Dirty Sneaker Award for the highest number of walkers. I want to retain that award for this church, and I need your help to do it. And finally, when you're thinking about yourself, maybe laugh a little more. Take yourself less seriously. Watch a good program on TV if you can find one. Tell a joke or share an internet story. Talk to a toddler. I guarantee you will laugh. And it's a physiological fact that if you laugh more, you will live longer. Creation, others, self, talk with God. I mentioned that idea of committing God trying to connect with you. You need to connect with God. Getting up in the morning, thanking God, praying. When's the last time you prayed? Hopefully, a few minutes ago. You know, I talk to people who tell me, "I don't know how to pray." Well, do you know how to talk to your neighbor or talk to your best friend? I look at people on the cell phone all day, every day. They are good at talking. And that's all praying is talking with God as a best friend. You know that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? Your best friend may not have time for you, but God always has time to hear what you have to say. I talk about listening to God. How do you listen to God? Well, one of the easiest and most effective ways of listening to God is the way God is always trying to talk to you through the Holy Bible. Pick out a favorite story. Melba's always talking about the book of Job. That's a good place to start. If you don't know where to start, if you feel weird just picking up the Bible, look at the lectionary in the bulletin and read next Sunday's thing. But listen to God. God has creative ways of talking to you. Well, I believe that James would be okay with this. And I can guarantee that Jesus will like this too. We need to attend to these daily disciplines of being a disciple by looking after creation, helping others, being good to ourselves, and by talking to God. And you know, when we think about that, Jesus is giving all the gifts we need in order to be disciples. Jesus is all the time giving us creative opportunities to seek the truth. And so I ask you, today and tomorrow and every day, let us work with Jesus in paying the cost of discipleship. Amen.